Sorry about that technical difficulty. I guess there was no audio on the live stream, but it was just pretty music. So you got to see the video anyway. Hey, we're talking today about things that are unexplainable. We may not be able to explain it, but yet they're also undeniable. We see them, and clearly that is the reality. And today, this is one of those things. This is just a bag of water. And did you know that you can just stick a pencil through a bag of water and it won't leak? How cool is that? I mean, that's unless you're a science nerd, and we have some of those in our church and they're watching. And so, hey, welcome to church. But they can probably explain this to us all, but hey, it's undeniable, right? Let me just switch this out here real quick. Let's try this one. Do you think we can do the same thing with this one? If you're a science guy, you know it's basically the same principle. But we can take this, usually when you poke a big sharp needle with a balloon. Let's just see if I can do it. I practiced and practiced. So let's see if we can make this happen here. I'm like, oh no, here we go. Is this going to work? I practiced. Come on there, baby. Here, see, it's going in. Oh, I feel like this is going to blow up on me. I really did practice this. Here we go. There we go. We're in. All right, let's see if we can get it all the way through. I got to be careful here. You got to be careful. Here we go. Okay, well, I want to get it right spot here. Where's that thing at? Okay, there we go. See, we're all the way through already. Look at that. But here's the cool thing about balloons. Watch this. I can pull it out, and it doesn't go away, right? How cool is that? There you go. That's my nice helper over here. So that's undeniable, right? But it's unexplainable. I don't get that. I'm not a big science guy, but unexplainable, but perhaps, but it's also undeniable. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So welcome to church. Now, here's one other thing I know, and that is you don't allow what's unexplainable to overshadow what's undeniable. If you did, you wouldn't use your cell phone, would you? Look at this cool device. You wouldn't use your cell phone if you did. I mean, who can, except those science people, right, and maybe some engineers, who can explain how the cell phone works? The microwave. I remember, this is going to date me because I'm really old now, according to my kids. I can remember watching Star Trek, and they put some food in this thing, and out came hot food in like seconds. And wow, we didn't have microwaves when I first saw that. And then they were developed, and now we have them in our home. We can have popcorn in just a few minutes, like 2 minutes now or whatever. You press the popcorn button. I don't even know how long it is. When adults embrace Christ as their Savior, it usually happens in the very same way. We come with questions. We come with obstacles. We come with objections. We come with doubts. I've never, ever met an adult who trusted Christ and embraced Him as Savior after getting all of his questions answered. Instead of working through obstacles, it's as if something forces him around them. Something forces him over them. Then he looks back in his life and he says, it's not that I fully understand. It's not that I fully got all my questions answered. It's personal. It's just that something happened to me. And as you read through the Gospels, it makes sense. What didn't make sense before makes sense now, because Jesus came in person to connect mankind personally with the Father. Information wasn't enough. That's why the summary statement to all this Christian stuff begins this way. Look, for God so loved, that's the relational part, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, it doesn't say that He gave a list of explanations. He didn't do that. He gave something personal, His only begotten Son. In fact, the other thing I've observed about adults who come to Christ is that they, in fact, get most of their questions answered after embracing the Savior, not before. The point of all this is this. You don't have to understand everything to believe in something. And guess what? None of you do. You see, understanding always follows faith. In fact, sometimes faith negates your need to understand. Case in point, 747. How many of you know everything there is to know about aerodynamics and the laws of flight and that tons of weight, not just 1,000 pounds or 2,000 pounds, but tons and tons and tons, many tons of weight can be lifted off the ground and suspended in flight. If I just hold my hands out for a few minutes, they get tired, but that airplane with those wings can suspend that flight for hours and hours and hours. I don't understand that. And quite frankly, I don't really need to understand that. How about this microphone, right? This microphone I'm wearing, this little tiny thing somehow captures my voice. I have no idea how that works. And then there's equipment. It sends it like through the air to some piece of equipment back there, and it puts it in digital format. So it translates this to ones and zeros and ones and zeros and ones and zeros. I don't know how that works. I couldn't even read it if I could see it. And then it sends it over the internet to you. Most of you are on devices that aren't connected to anything tangibly. It's in the air. And then it captures that air and then translates it back into ones and zeros. And there's hardly any delay at all. And it gives you my voice on the other side of this with my picture and all this animation and cool stuff. How is that even possible? It's unexplainable. But you're watching. It's undeniable. I'm not even really interested in an explanation when I get onto an airplane. Are you? Have you ever asked a question to somebody that's really, really smart, and at some point you just say, stop, I really didn't want to know that much about it. That happens to me often. Hey, we're not the only ones to come across something unexplainable yet undeniable. The Apostle Paul, he records this incredible story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, in John chapter 9. Look at these passages of Scripture. Just look at this little passage with me today. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? Get this. This man or his parents, that he was born blind? How incredible is that, right? That's a good question. You probably have asked questions like that before. The disciples were just a little confused about God. It had to be either this man or his parents, right? It was either or. We ask these kinds of questions a lot. But Jesus said, guys, you're focusing on the wrong thing. It was neither this man nor his parents sinned. Come on. You're asking the wrong question. You can debate the either or thing, the two sides of this argument, and you're always going to be wrong because it's neither of them. You want to know why this happened? Jesus said, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in this man's life. To which the disciples go, what? As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is on the ground. And as he was on the ground, he was the window of opportunity to see clearer than we could ever see again. This is why people often become Christians. By reading the gospel. It's as clear as it gets. Apart from this, we usually ask the wrong questions. What does light have to do with all this? Well, that's simple. Jesus is saying, do you really want to know what God is like? Then, hey, watch me. I'll show you what God is really like. I'll shed some light on this subject because I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it in the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Amazing, right? It's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? Let's read on. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to beg?" But some claimed that he was, but others said, "No, he only looks like him." They didn't buy it either. Miracles? Really? Come on. That can't be. It's just too unbelievable. It's just too unexplainable. But the man said, "I am the man." Then, "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. We don't understand this. Explain it to us so that we can wrap our mind around this. The man said, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Unexplainable, right? Absolutely. Undeniable? Clearly he's seeing. "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know. I didn't see him when I left," right? They brought him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. This is in accordance with the law. They were supposed to do this. But here's the problem, the real problem. Are you ready for this? We're told in verse 14. This gets like, cue the ominous music. It's going to get weird right now. This is the big problem. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. If this had only been a Monday or a Sunday or a Wednesday or Thursday, no problem. But the Sabbath? That's unexplainable and maybe even unacceptable. You've got to be kidding me. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I can see." You can't deny this one. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." God would not operate that way. God doesn't do things like that. But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Unexplainable? Sure. Undeniable? Absolutely. The guy's right there in front of them. Meanwhile, no one is celebrating the fact that this guy can see. Do you see a problem with this? Finally, they turn again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." What's up with this? Are we on a game show? Are you smarter than a Pharisee? What are my choices? Can I phone a friend? Can I get a lifeline? I mean, why are we playing this game? The man replied, "He is a prophet." There's no other explanation. The Jews still do not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Why? Because it's so unexplainable, right? Things like this just don't happen. They asked the parents, "Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind?" You can almost hear it in their voice. "How is it then that he can see? Explain this in terms that we can understand and accept." "Well, we know it's our son. That's pretty clear," the parents answered. And "we know he was born blind. We took care of him for years. But how he can see and who opened his eyes? We don't know. It's unexplainable. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that everyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the anointed, was the Christ, would be put out of the synagogue. They had decided before looking at the evidence. They evaluated evidence against their faulty worldview. They evaluated evidence against their faulty theology and their incredibly limited experience in the grand scheme of things. That is why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, I love this, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. You guys are so certain about everything, but you are missing the obvious. I'm not certain about anything except one thing. Look at this. One thing I know. I was blind. But now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? We got to fit it into our prearranged categories. God doesn't work the way we think this just happened. We have to figure this out. Come on. He answered, I have told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? I love this. I'm kind of a little sarcastic in my nature. So do you want to become his disciples too? I mean, come on, guys. Then they hurled insults at him and said, of course they hurled insults, right? That's what we do when we can't figure things out. You are this fellow's disciple. With all the pious voice they could muster, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes? Really? We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. And clearly, he listened to this guy. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Isn't it obvious? To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. I love that. You never saw before, but now you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And get this, he worshiped him. He worshiped him. And listen, friends, Jesus accepted the worship. There's no other word to put. There's this Greek word for worship. It doesn't translate to anything weird. He worshiped him. And Jesus accepted the worship. But friend, don't you have some questions before you worship somebody? No, not anymore. I just want to worship. I think this may have been one of those incidents that Jesus and the apostles stood around the campfire at night laughing about. You know, did you see the look on the Pharisee's face when I said, or when I did, or when he said? Every once in a while, people ask me if I ever doubt, if I ever have doubts about whether Christianity is real, if I ever have doubts whether the Bible is inspired, do I ever have doubts that maybe God isn't paying attention anymore? Sure. But listen, through the years, I've discovered a pattern to my doubting. I think I know what makes me doubt. I doubt when I lose sight of what's undeniable and focus on what's unexplainable. I doubt when I take my eyes off of what he has clearly done and focus them instead on maybe what I think he should have done or what I would have done if I were God. That's when I mess up and doubt. I doubt when I focus my attention on what I don't understand. I doubt when I focus my attention on what I can't explain. That's when I get into trouble. I doubt when I can't get God to cooperate or stay in the box that I've built for him. That's when I have problems in my life. It all changes when, like the blind man, I retreat to what I do know. My my firm footing. It all changes when, just like the blind man, I retreat to what I've actually seen. Can't explain it, but I've seen it. It all changes when, just like the blind man, I retreat to what is undeniable. It all changes when I lean into what actually happened to me. You see, I may never know why. I may never know how. I'm just not that smart. But the reality is, it's undeniable. Here's what I know for sure. The earth is here, right? We actually have planet Earth. And something doesn't just come from nothing. Never, that's never been seen in the history of the world, and it never will be. Here's what I do know for sure. A Jewish carpenter showed up 2,000 years ago and made these outlandish claims, including the claim to have had to have come to die for the sins of the entire world. He never raised an army. He never traveled more than 25 miles or so from his home. He never set up a political system. He certainly could have, but he didn't. It wasn't important to him. He claimed that his kingdom was not of this world. He willingly gave up his life instead of clinging to it. We know more about the life of this one man than any other ancient figure in history, and most of them combined. And there's no reason for that, because he didn't write anything down, nothing. Rome tried to stop him. Judaism tried to stamp him out. And after all of that, Rome became the capital of Christianity. His closest followers gave up their lives over what they saw, not over what he taught. And yet this movement has flourished. Can't explain it. Over one third of the world's population believes that Jesus is the unique Son of God. On every single continent, people claim to have had almost an identical experience with this carpenter from Nazareth. And once they put their faith and trust in him, their lives are completely changed forever. I've been in prayer meetings with people who prayed in a dozen different languages, didn't have a clue what they were saying, and the only word I understood was Jesus. 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 Every other week or so, I listen as adults tell me about their life apart from Christ versus their lives once they met him. And their stories are always the same. Here's what's undeniable. You can live for yourself and do everything in your power to fill your life with meaning and experiences, and yet know there is a hunger in you that is never fully and finally satisfied. You keep chasing the dream, but you never quite get there. Bigger and better and cuter and cooler, wears off faster and faster as you get older and older and older. And there's no meaning. There's no purpose in this life if that's all there is. And it doesn't seem to bother your dog. And it doesn't seem to bother your mouse. But at times, it relentlessly gnaws at you. Relentlessly. You can't get past it. It keeps you up at night. Are you wasting your life? And to that point, Jesus said this, in the very next chapter, in fact, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Listen. It may be true that I don't know why good people suffer. I don't get that sometimes. But I've learned more about God's sustaining grace and power from sick and dying people than from well people. While it may be true that I don't know why young people have to die, my 13-year-old nephew passed away many years ago. I didn't get that then, and I haven't wrapped my brain around it yet. But I've stood at funerals where the reality of death was leveraged in such a way as to send people away completely changed forever. I don't know why people have to hurt each other. Listen, I don't even get boxing. I mean, I just don't understand that whole concept. But I have learned more about the liberating power of forgiveness from hurt people than from all those lives that I see that are wrinkle-free. There's a whole lot of stuff that I've begun to understand on this side of faith that, quite frankly, I would never, ever, ever have understood in my unbelief. And here's the good news for you this morning. Listen, you don't have to understand everything to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't. Once you do put your faith in Jesus, just like the blind man and tens of millions of others, you will have one aha moment after another as you continually discover the matchless wisdom of your Heavenly Father. And if you are on the edge of putting your faith in Christ, you know enough, you've seen enough, you've seen undeniable evidence, you will gain incredibly fresh insight once you've crossed that line of faith. This afternoon, you need to go home. You need to get on your knees right there where you're at. You need to repent of your sins. You need to place your faith and trust in the Savior of the world. And listen, if you're not a believer because you have so many doubts and questions, that's what this series is all about. Fine, I guess. But here's what you need to hear too. Listen, you don't have to understand everything before you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Keep coming online. Keep listening. Start picking up your Bible and actually reading it. And listen, over time, what's undeniable will begin to catch your focus too. And one day, it'll become undeniably clear that Jesus Christ is exactly who He claimed to be, and He desires to take up residence within you. And while there may be things that you still can't explain, your faith will ultimately rest in what you can't deny. So friends, it's so simple. Jesus made it so simple. God created this whole thing in such simplicity. Here's all you got to do. Trust Him. That's it. Just trust Him. He will never let you down. Father, we just come before You today and praise You. Father, You are our God and we are Your people. And Lord, You are calling people all over the country. Lord, and Lord, we got folks still watching us in Australia. Hello, mate. God, we come before You today pleading for their souls, asking You to connect the dots of faith. They don't have to understand everything to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that You would bridge that gap. Grant them the gift of faith in Jesus' name. Give them the gift of repentance and help them place their faith and trust in the only one in all the earth and all the universe that is safe and secure all the time. His love has boundaries, but Lord, we could never comprehend them. That, Lord, You show up when the bills are due. You help us, Lord, no matter what we're going through. You fix us, You correct us. Lord, we can lean into absolutely everything, even though we can't hardly explain anything. And God, I pray that You would do that work of grace and power and hope in every single person watching. And God, we will praise and glorify and lift up the name of our Savior Jesus. How blessed You are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching today.
you for tuning in today. God bless.